What a joy to start off our year by putting ourselves in the presence of our God, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to be able to fellowship with one another with the goal of stirring up each other to love and good works. To those of our friends who are visiting us this morning, welcome. Thank you for being here, and we are truly honored by your presence, and we humbly ask, please don't leave so soon. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And of course, if you so desire, you can also get to know us a little bit longer as well. If you will, please bow with me as we begin our day with the word of prayer. Most holy and gracious Father, our God and our Creator, Father, we come to Thee through prayer, because only Thou have the words of eternal life upon which we, Father, can fill our souls. We know, Father, that You gave us what was best from Your realm, Your Son, Father, in whom there was no spot or blemish, who lived a life, Father, of flawlessness, so that He could give His life, so that we, Father, may have access to that grace that can only be obtained through that precious blood of Thy Son. For these reasons and many more, we thank You, O God. We bow before Thee, O King, not only to glorify Thee, but to humbly request, Father, that You will guide us through Thy word always, and that as we now sit, Father, at Thy feet to listen from the lips of this Thy servant, that I may speak Thy word in accordance to Thy will, that I, Father, may be identified by those who search what I will be sharing, Lord, as thy servant and as Thy oracle. And that, Lord, not only may I share it, Father, in word, but I may do so more so in my life through the application and the practice, Father, of obedience in Thy sight. Father, for our friends who have yet to become Thy children, we humbly ask that You allow them to listen intently, that the words that will be shared here today may pierce their hearts, Father, and grant them the boldness they need to finally obey Thy kingdom's gospel. And Father, for those of our brethren who are hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, but above all, spiritually, in Thy holy hands we deposit them. And we humbly ask that You, Father, provide for them whatever necessary so that they may be made whole once again. Father, we pray this not because we're worthy, but we do it, Father, in that glorious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen. As we've stated in our Bible class, this morning we start a new year. And as has been the case for several years now, our elders have given us our assignment. And for the first quarter of 2026, which is from January until April, to the end of March, really, we will be revisiting some foundational lessons. When we talk about foundational lessons, brethren, we're going back to basics, if you will. And as we've already established, this is not a bad thing, even if we have been in the Lord's church for a long time. It is always valuable to be reminded of such lessons. It is always important to make sure that our foundation is still as solid as it always had should have been. See, if you read there in Ephesians chapter 2, the commandment that is given to us is that we are to build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's important, brethren, that we understand that when we own a home, the foundation is very important in order for the longevity of that home. And every once in a while, we have to reinforce it. We have to understand that soil tends to shift, especially out here in this state. Depending upon where the region that we live in, and depending on the weather and the conditions, sometimes that soil or where we have built or laid our foundation on can cause our foundation to shift or to even move in a way that would cause cracks on the walls of the house. For this reason, we are wise and prudent when we examine it, and when we make sure that when we see those kinds of erosions, when we see those kinds of shifts, we do what is necessary so that that foundation will not be compromised and that our home will last longer. This is why it's important, and this is why it is wise, as our elders have deemed it, to go back to examine and re-examine our fundamental teachings. It is important for us to reinforce the foundation if there have been things that perhaps our mind has forgotten. It is important for us, brethren, that perhaps we never learned some fundamental lessons when we began our Christianity, for whatever reason the case may be. The purpose of these lessons that we will be seeing starting today are exactly for that. We are seeking to reinforce and we are aiming to keep that foundation that Christ has laid for you and for I uncompromised by the shifts of life that can be seen as the soil. When we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, we have to remember that the preeminence of the church is what is being spoken about throughout this entire letter. And when I say preeminence, what I'm speaking about is why the church is superior to any other human kingdom. Why the kingdom of God is the greatest kingdom that will ever be. But the point that we are seeing is, in order for you and I to know how to reinforce our foundations, how to make sure that those biblical teachings we received at the beginning of our Christianity are still being applied and are still being used in our lives today, three basic points we're going to see this morning. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, because in verses 19 through 22, you and I will be taking our three points from this very passage. Because again, pay attention to the fact that the focus of this entire letter is why the church is superior. Every chapter of this letter is going to answer that question. Every chapter of this letter is going to prove that point. But as chapter 2 is concluding, pay attention to verse 19, which applies to you and I. We learn now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The first point that you and I have to understand, why it's important to revisit these foundational lessons. Why is it important to go back to our basics and to remember these fundamental teachings is because we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but are members of the household of God. In other words, this house is no longer just a rental. This is my property. This is the home which was purchased for me and was given to me by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I abide in this home. I dwell in it along with my family and my household. And because this is going to be my permanent residency, I have to make sure that what I examine is always solid and that the soil and the conditions surrounding this house will not affect it. Because if I have indeed built upon the rock, which we will get into in a few minutes, then I should be aware that if the foundation is compromised, it is not the cornerstone itself, but rather I have neglected to keep up the maintenance of that home. You see, when we begin in verse 19, we are told by the Bible that the reason it is important to always go back to revisit these lessons, to be reminded of these lessons, is because it is proper maintenance that we have to give the home. It is how we keep up with it. It is how we make sure that things are still where they're supposed to be. That no matter how difficult the storms were, no matter how deep the waters rose, no matter how hard the winds blew. You see, all of these things are presented by Jesus in his parable there in Matthew chapter 7. No matter how difficult life can become, when we remember these fundamental lessons, when we bring to memory the foundations of our faith, when we bring to memory what we are supposed to do as well as growing in Christ, we then, brethren, will confirm and prove that indeed the foundation that God laid is solid, immovable, and steadfast. Every once in a while, it's good to go and to examine just how well the house was built. The quality of the construction and the workers. But just because their quality was top-notch, it does not mean that it will not go untested. It is my responsibility as one of the homeowners, and it is my responsibility as one who is dwelling in that habitation to make sure that I keep up with the maintenance. To make sure that I water the foundation around it so that the soil won't settle as much. to make sure that that foundation is always preserved. And thus, when we begin, we see that the very first point we learn is that we're no longer visiting, but rather we are members of this household. We are inhabitants that have been given this possession by God. We are the owners, if you will, of this property that Jesus has bought for you and for I. So it is valuable, brethren, to go back to our foundational lessons. It is valuable to reinforce these lessons because it helps us keep up the maintenance. It helps us as a reminder of why we have to keep fighting the good fight, as to why my faith is founded in Christ and nothing less. It reminds me that when I sing, I have built on Christ. My hope is built on nothing less, that I know what passage I'm speaking about. That I understand why I have this conviction that on Christ and only on Christ will my home be preserved for all of eternity. God promises me that when He has adopted me, I am no longer a foreigner. I am no longer a stranger. And because of this, because I am now a citizen of the kingdom, because I am now a member of this household of God, I have a responsibility to keep up with my chores within this house. I have a responsibility to make sure that the foundation is reinforced when necessary so that it will not break or crack because of my poor maintenance or negligence. Number two, go with me now to verse 20. The Bible reads, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, brethren, when we talk about a foundation, we all understand that we're talking about the portion at the bottom. But let's begin by understanding, first and foremost, what is the value of a cornerstone? You see, the Bible here is giving us a lot of information that you and I need to understand. For those who perhaps have studied this, or perhaps you have built a home before, you know that the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, is to ensure structural integrity and longevity. It is significant because it determines where you bear the weight, and it determines the orientation and the strength of that home or of that property. The cornerstone, in other words, is valuable. The cornerstone is very, very important when starting a building. You see, brethren, when I read this and when I share this with you, what the cornerstone does as we read and as we've seen, it begins to give us direction. It begins to give us stability. And then it guarantees if we choose the correct cornerstone and where to lay it properly, it secures that that home will last for a long, long time. Let me go with you, if you will. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, I want you and I to read what cornerstone God has chosen. And remember that what you and I are about to read is a prophecy. And we'll be seeing prophecies later on in the year. But pay attention now at this point, at this prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, we will read first verse 34, and then we will jump over to verse 44. So for those who perhaps have never read this, verse 34 is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and Daniel is revealing his dream, because Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten what he dreamt of. But that same dream was prophetic. And what this prophecy shown in verse 44, Daniel reveals the interpretation of the dream. He reveals what the meaning of that part of the dream is. In verse 34, the Bible says, "You watched while the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces." Now, this is the dream. This is the prophecy. This is the figure in the illustration that God is using. Now, remember, this is to teach us about the chief cornerstone. Verse 44. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now remember, what's the purpose of the chief cornerstone? Endurance, longevity, and direction. From that chief cornerstone, the rest of the foundation is going to follow. From that chief cornerstone, with a foundation in line with it, is going to guarantee and secure just how long that house or that building will last. When we read this prophecy, brethren, we know that God here is speaking about the church. He is speaking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But you see, brethren, the church was built upon Christ, that rock that he spoke of when Peter confessed him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is that stone which we approach. The idea there that Peter gives is that Jesus is that chief cornerstone that is guiding our direction, and therefore as the foundation is being laid, he's not talking about that slab of concrete that we think about in our time. No, he's talking about how in their times, they would take these boulders, they would take these rocks, and they would begin to lay them from that cornerstone, moving outward and expanding till this all completely filled. You see, what he is referring to the fact is these stones were brought and they were united and brought, and from that cornerstone were placed accordingly so that they would tie together and that foundation would not move easily. These stones would actually mold with one another. And then they would pour upon them a form of concrete that would go in between those cracks and between those cracks that were made by the stones, and then they would seal as if there were one block with many pebbles in it. This is the cornerstone's job. You see, Jesus is the chief cornerstone because he provided the example. He began by teaching us how to be obedient unto death. Jesus is the chief cornerstone because he is eternal. As long as he is in place in our lives and we do not remove him, then our salvation in eternity is guaranteed. He is the chief cornerstone because in Christ Jesus we can do all things who strengthen us. As long as Christ is our cornerstone, brethren, then you and I will have a place to dwell with God. But it's not just Jesus. Notice that Jesus provided the direction for his apostles and his prophets. You see, even though Christ is the chief cornerstone, notice that we are to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius obeys the vision that he has seen. And after Peter arrives and he has explained to Peter all of these things, Peter, understanding now that the gospel was also being made available to the Gentiles, notice what he begins to do there, beginning at verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, there's our chief cornerstone. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by the hanging on the tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Did you pay attention to that, friend? These eyewitnesses, verse 42, are the apostles. These eyewitnesses who ate and drank with him, notice in verse 42, they were commanded to preach to the people. But Peter does not leave out the prophets of the old. Peter does not leave out Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi. He does not leave out Moses, David. Notice in verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name. So what Peter does here is that he is showing that the foundation began to be laid by the prophets of old. That indicates that the chief cornerstone was already in place. Christ Jesus was already in place. He had already been placed by God there in that position. And therefore the prophets were able to build following that direction provided for them. But the apostles finished filling in the gaps. You see, friends, when we talk about the foundation, we're talking about the Bible. Because, pay attention, Peter says we were commanded to preach. Well, what were they preaching? The Word of God. What did he start doing at verse 36? The Word which God sent to the children of Israel. See, brethren, when we build upon the foundation, if the Bible is not our foundation, we're building upon the sand. If we are not building upon the whole counsel of God, if we choose to only build on the prophets, our house will be lopsided. If we choose to ignore the prophets and we're only building on the apostles, our house is not going to sustain itself. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. When the apostles preached the gospel, they included the prophets. Notice that in the very first sermon of the church in Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter used two different Old Testament writers. He used David, who was a psalm writer, but he also used the words of Moses. When Paul wrote the letter written to the Romans explaining how God's grace works, he often quoted the Old Testament. You see, the foundation that was laid for us is not only that Jesus is our chief cornerstone, but that the prophets and the apostles were inspired by the same Spirit so that we would have a solid foundation to build upon. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and only verse 46, Jesus verifies this. He says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" You see, friends, when the Bible tells us that we have to build upon the foundation, for those of us who have been Christians for many years, the question is the Bible still our foundation? If what we are applying and practicing in our daily living, is it still being built upon the Bible, the word that God inspired? Am I still living by God's rule and not man's rule? Is my foundation still on Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone? So I have to give the proper maintenance. But I have to make sure that I haven't begun to shift my house and build on another foundation that doesn't belong to God. That would be a very odd-looking house, don't you agree? Even though I have grown in the faith, my growth still has to be upon these fundamental things the Bible has established for me. I cannot change what God has laid. And the moment that I do, I am no longer building upon Christ, the chief cornerstone. So as we come to an end, to our final point, notice verse 21 and verse 22 gives us why we want to make sure, why we want to reinforce that foundation that has been laid for us. The purpose, as we've been saying it this entire lesson, is that we are to be fitted together and we are to grow into a holy temple in the Lord. Brethren, you and I, we are the temple of God. You and I, as the church, we are the dwelling place of the Spirit. But if we allow our walls to crack, if we allow our walls to begin to be eaten by the termites of disillusion, by the termites of discouragement, if we allow the rottenness and the mold of division and strife among us, our home will fall on us. Our walls will crash into us. Those windows that we put in will break and will be exposed. And even though the material that is on top of the foundation can break, can burn, can fall down, notice that the foundation and its chief cornerstone will still remain standing. You know, when I first got here, I remember Brother Phil Hopkins. He took me over to see what was the old Pennystone building. And those of you who have been members of Southeast longer than I have, you know what I'm referring to. That building that so many of you remember with such love and such cherish, with such care and such tenderness. And I remember that the brother took me because he wanted me to see where it was. And when he took me, there was no building there. There was only a slab of concrete where the building used to be. I remember asking Brother Phil, "Where's the building?" "Oh, it burned down. This is where it used to be." Notice the walls, the doors, the windows, the pews, everything that used to be there was no longer there. But the foundation of that building was still there, and spiritually speaking, is still here. Even though the name of the street has changed, and even though the location has changed, the church is still here. Brethren, there will be moments in our lives where those winds will blow hard and will rattle our walls. There are going to be trials and temptations in our lives where sometimes we will give in to temptation and they will bring cracks upon those walls. There will be moments where the fire will perhaps be able to lick the wood of our beams. But we have to remember that it can always be repaired. Because even though the walls can be hurt, the foundation remains solid and cannot be destroyed. The promise made in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, is that the foundation is solid, and therefore your responsibility and mine is to stay away from sin. But as we've seen in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and verse 22, that foundation isn't so that we can live there exposed to the air. No, we have to build. And we have to build together. And we have to make sure that what we are building fits together correctly. Because if we just put things together because it looks nice, I'm eclectic, therefore I'm just going to do it this way. I'm going to put this piece of cement, this clay, I'm going to mix it with this iron, as was in the case of the statue there in Babylon. Iron and clay do not mix. And because they do not mix, they cannot hold. And therefore, because it cannot hold, it compromises and endangers those who are living in that wrongly built home. The commandment is that we are to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the reason we have to build and maintain is because we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are members of the household of God. Perhaps there's someone among us this morning who is not yet a child of God. Perhaps you want to build with us. You want to build your own room within this great mansion. Believe me, space is plentiful in the house of God. Perhaps you want to be a homeowner in heaven. Today, you can begin your journey. Today, you can begin to build on the same foundation that we are building. But Christ Jesus has to be the chief cornerstone of your building. You cannot try to build upon the Bible and not have Christ as the cornerstone of your home. Because Jesus is the one that gives you direction. Jesus is the one that gives you endurance. Jesus is the one who gives us eternity. Perhaps, brother, your house has sustained damage. Perhaps you, in a fit of rage, have broken out a window. Or in a moment of folly and of sin, in a moment of temptation, you have brought cracks and harm to your home. And perhaps your sin has been caused so much extensive damage that you feel that you cannot fix it alone. We have our tools at our side. We are ready to help you rebuild. We are ready to help you fix whatever damages Satan has tried to make to your home. Whether it is through trials or whether it is by giving in to sin, there is nothing impossible for God. We can begin by praying on your behalf, and then we can continue to work together so that we can make sure that not only do we fix those damages, we reinforce that foundation so that they will not happen again. We can help you fix whatever it is that your sin has damaged. If you are in need of our prayers this morning, or if you are in need of Christ and are ready to obey his commandment by being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in accordance to his word, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?